So about 5 years ago, I, Melon 26, set out to travel the world. Being straight out of college had left me in debt. Ever more desperate for a job I was overqualified for, and generally depressed. I felt isolated and alone in a small town in Washington, and found the only way to get out, travel. My high school buddy suggested I look into woofing and volunteering as a way to travel cheap. And so I did. The way it works is quite simple. You work for around 25 hours a week on some farm for food and housing. The draw is that since the community of cheap-ass travelers is quite big, it is a great way to meet new people. Get outside of your comfort zone and just let yourself live and figure life out. Fast forward 8 months, and I'm a seasoned cowshit shoveler. I started out in Washington, Oregon, and went south to California. There, I was able to save some money. I was paid under the table for some extra work and was now faced with a decision. Where to go in the world? The excitement of being able to purchase a ticket to almost anywhere in the world got the best of me. And on the advice of my dumbass hippie volunteering partner, I chose it at random. I went to a randomizer website and clicked the country button. Georgia. The country of Georgia. To say I didn't know anything about it was an understatement, but the fear of the unknown made it exciting and exotic somehow. And so I did it. I purchased a ticket and started browsing for a farm that could host me. There were a few options, and most were remote, and hadn't even had internet connection. I messaged every single one, because few ever respond. I got a response from one farm on top of a mountain. The picture showed a traditional Georgian stone house, with a large garden out in the back, a family with several cheerful children, grandparents having dinner, animals. It seemed warm and inviting. The description was written in good English, and the requirements for work seemed reasonable. I was excited. After I flew into Tbilisi, the capital, I followed the directions that they have sent to the local farm, which wasn't an easy task. Few in Georgia speak English. The roads are fucking seen. Few have been maintained since the fall of the Soviet Union, and the country is generally poor. It took me around 20 hours of Soviet buses and taxis, weird serpentine roads and paths, to get to the desired blue pin on the map. It was a dirt path leading up a steep hill, into a national park up in the north of the country. There was nothing for miles on end, but trees and their silence. As I got up that hill, I saw the house about half a mile away, on an even steeper hill, surrounded by trees from what viewpoint it seemed to abandon, overgrown, brown, and dreary. As I walked past the gate, Jiri, the apparent owner, approached me. He was a heavy, small middle-aged guy, with a big smile on his face. He shook my hand and, in broken English, started to show me around. He also smelled of booze. As he was showing me around, I noticed that there wasn't anyone there but us. I asked about his wife and kids, and he brushed that aside, and said something to the extent, "They're away right now." By this point, I'm creeped out. From browsing around, it was apparent that the farm was in a deep decline. Apple trees and crops were dying. The roof and the small barn caved in, the house itself full of trash and smelling of mold. It was obvious that Jiri was going through a rough patch, but I wasn't going to turn around and just leave in the middle of nowhere, without a plan, having not slept for the past 36 hours. It was evening, and after feeding me well, and trying as best as he could to hold the conversation in English, Jiri showed me my room on the second floor and I went to sleep. I almost immediately blacked out from the exhaustion and stress. I would have slept for 10 hours if I wasn't awoken to by a strange noise in the middle of the night. I sounded like something metallic and heavy was being dragged across the wooden floor. In that sleepy, in-between state, I listened to it for a few minutes. Thought nothing of it and went back to sleep once it stopped. In the morning, Jiri, now sober and grumpy, asked me to repair some of the windows and doors in the house, as he himself planned to go and fetch some components in the nearby village. Again, I got this weird feeling creeping down my spine. Something wasn't right. He didn't maintain eye contact and was evasive. There was no cell reception, no internet, once he left. I checked around the house to get a general idea of the place, and it became apparent that the place was hardly ever lived in, like one of those abandoned houses. There was broken furniture, newspapers, and old photos on the floor. A shattered mirror. I took my phone and looked through the saved listings again. The photos didn't match neither the backyard, the garden, or the walls. Jerry wasn't in any of them. It was a completely different house. Now by this point, I'm in full-blown panic. I pack my shit up and start to leave when I see a group of three men going up the hill. There weren't any other paths I can take, so I go behind the house and rush down the hill into the forest. After some time, I stop and listen. I hear them in the house, and they're clearly looking for me. Afraid of making any noise, I remain still, hidden behind a bush. I still don't know how long I waited for, but they were persistent. At some point, I hear them leave, so I count until some large number, and proceed back to the house and path. Once I find it's all clear, I book it the hell out of there. Never ran this fast, but I'm still in the middle of freaking nowhere. No traffic, no public transport. I reach a paved road and start walking in a general direction, where I remember coming. Hours go by and finally a car drives by and stops. Now in a horror movie, this would have been Jerry and his friends. But this was actually a really nice Russian family that gave me a ride to town. The listing disappeared from the website a few days after I left, and I haven't heard from Jerry since. I've yet to make sense of that experience. I've traveled since and volunteered too. Some people, once they hear this story, laugh, and say that the guy was coming over with a couple of friends from the village to have a chat over a few beers. Some say he was bound to kidnap and kill me. But I trust my gut feeling. Something was really not right. So let's never meet again, Jerry. I was about 12 years old at the time and a member of a unisex scouts group. One of about four girls in our troop. We went to a jamboree with loads of other scout groups and camped there for a few nights. During the day, we did a range of activities, a lot of which were based in a wooded area, very close to the area we were camping in. Every night, there was some sort of entertainment for us to go to, if we wanted to. On the first night, the other girls and I started talking to a group of older guys, who we were also camping with their troop for a few days. They were pretty nerdy, and we weren't particularly attracted to them, but they seemed nice and we had a good laugh with them. Whenever we saw them for the next couple of days, we would say hi and chat when we could. It was nice to talk to some other boys than the ones in our group. The boys in our troop were older than me, and were pretty protective of us girls. They made sure these other boys knew they were with us, and we felt pretty safe being at a scout event with older boys watching over us. The night before we left, we had a disco. Everyone got dressed up, and we went along to dance and listen to the music. By this point, we had got to know the boys pretty well, or as well as we could have for a couple of days. At the disco, a couple of boys asked if we wanted to go for a walk, in view of the disco, and just hang out away from the scout leaders, as if it was our last night. Me and another girl went off with them, but we weren't far from the disco and could hear and see everything that was going on. After a while, my friend needed to use the bathroom, so we headed back towards the disco tent. I stayed where I was and kept hanging out with these boys. Big mistake. Looking back, I should have gone with her. How well did I really know these boys? But at 12 years old, I was pretty naive and didn't think anything bad would happen. They suggested we head back, but take a slightly longer route round, so we could see the stars, still within full view of the disco. Suddenly, one of the boys held my hand. I felt super uncomfortable, but was really shy back then and didn't know what to do. I saw him shine a light on our hands and wink at his mates, who very quickly disappeared. Now it was just me and him. I was even more uncomfortable. He proceeded to tell me he was really into me. even though he was 2 or 3 years older, and wanted to finish the trip on a high. He started to lead me towards the woods and further away from everyone else. I was inward panicking, freaking out and not knowing what to say or do. I was in shock and frightened. I tried to pull my hand away, but he held it tighter. He stared forward and kept telling me how beautiful I was, and now he couldn't wait to have some alone time. At 12 years old, this was the last thing I wanted. I really felt that if I went with him, it wouldn't end well, but I was too scared to do anything. I didn't feel I can get away even if I tried. Then he started to sing along to a song from the disco, which was becoming fainter and fainter. Is this all the way to Amarillo? I was terrified. I couldn't see any way out. In the midst of the panic, I suddenly heard something that filled me with utter relief. The boys from our troop were calling me and walking towards us. He let go of my hand, and as soon as I felt him let go, I ran to the boys I knew and they took me back to our camp. The next day we were leaving, I was so relieved. We were waiting to get our minibuses home when I heard his voice behind me. He told me he had a great night and it was a shame we got interrupted. He asked for my number. This was before cell phones, so he wanted my home number. One of the boys in my group answered for me, told him no, and that was best he left me alone. I'm 27 now, but still cannot listen to that song. If I hear it, my body is filled with dread and I feel sick. Thankfully, I never saw him again, and I hope I never do. To the creep guy who tried to lead me into the woods in the middle of the night, let's never meet again. Hi all, here's what happened. I'm at my parents' house with my mother drinking coffee. I had decided to drop by unexpectedly to spend some time with her, since I had worked a lot the weeks before and hadn't heard much from her. So we're talking when the intercom starts ringing. My parents live on the first floor of a neighborhood building. My mother goes to see, picks up the receiver, and there the expression on her face changes. She seems stressed, but she opens the door anyways. She then comes back to me saying that it's a guy she met on Facebook, that she hasn't seen for a year and a half, but that we have to say we're going to my grandma's, so he won't stay long. That's my mom's technique when she wants to dodge problems. We go to my grandma's very often. I'm starting to think it's weird, but we hear knocking, so my mom will open the door while I stay in the chair overlooking the entrance. I see a rather tall man coming in, of normal build, bald with small glasses. As soon as he enters the apartment, I felt the atmosphere change. Something oppressive was squeezing my chest. He kisses my mother and turns his head towards the living room where I am. Then he frowns when he sees me, as if he was surprised to find me here. I don't like it. His gaze is empty, disturbing. He says hello to me from afar and walks into the living room, grabs a chair and sits down. My mother then asks me what he's doing here and why he arrived without calling first. Her answer froze my blood. I'm sorry, I didn't take my phone. Actually, I'm coming from the hospital next door. I escaped, and since you told me you lived around here, I decided to stop by and say hello. At first, I thought he was joking, especially since he said it with a big smile. But his eyes were really weird, and his attitude too. My mother laughed nervously and asked him if he was serious, to which he replied that he was. He even gave us the name of the town he came from and told us how he ran away. He tells us that he was outside with 3 doctors, on a terrace, that the doctors came in before him while telling him to follow them, and that he took the opportunity to leave, passing over a hedge that overlooks a road where there was a bus stop. He got on the first passing bus and found himself not far from our house. He didn't know our exact address, but thanks to my mother, who gives her real name on social networks, he knew her last name and he searched all the interphones in the neighborhood before finding out where we were. While he was telling this story, I went on Google Maps to check where he said he was coming from, and everything matched. The hedge overlooking the road, the back terrace, the bus stop, but most of all, It's not just any hospital he escaped from. It's the psychiatric hospital. So I started to get really scared. For myself, but especially for my mother. We have an escapee from a mental hospital in our house. He then explained to my mother that if she hasn't heard from him for a year, it's because he came back there a year and a half ago, after he lost his wife and all of his money. But he didn't linger on it for very long. It was too much for me, so I got up and said I had to go to my room. I went in, the door wasn't closing, but I took my phone, and I called my best friend who is a security guard, and who lives 20 minutes away by car. I tell him what's going on and he decides to come, armed with a knife just in case. When I hang up the phone and go out of my room, I see the man is in the corridor near the door. He tells us that he's going to have to leave because people are probably looking for him, and that he has to go to a friend's house, but that he has to take the train. We say goodbye to him, and he leaves, but that's not all. I then explain to my mother what just happened, that she was crazy to have given her her name and address, even approximate, to a stranger on the internet. And then she tells me that last year she was at his house with my father, that his wife was there and they all had a great time, so she didn't consider him dangerous. I still tell her that someone you've seen once is not someone you can trust. My buddy arrives then sooner than expected, and we decided to call the hospital to make sure what he said was true, and especially to warn that someone is missing from their house. We call. We run into the secretary and we explain our story. She seems surprised and puts us on hold until she checks it out. When she comes back, she tells us that he's not in his room anymore, and that all of his stuff is there, and they hadn't noticed he was gone. It has been more than 2 hours since he has escaped, but since the guards had seen his belongings when they passed by the door, they hadn't worried. She, however, warns us that he is a dangerous psychotic, who had a crisis after his wife left him, and that he can be extremely violent if he is upset. At that moment, I only think one thing. What would have happened if I hadn't been there with my mother? If she had been alone with this guy? She told us that they were going to do whatever was necessary. We asked her if we could be kept informed when they found him, but she told us she had no right to give us that kind of information. We then raised our voices and explained that we shouldn't be afraid of him coming back every day, and she apologized but can't do anything about it. We hang up the phone and decide with my friend to go and do a walk around the neighborhood for several hours and the next few days to see if he's still there, but we never saw him again. All this story, which really happened, has a great moral. Never give your address to strangers, and never reveal personal information on social networks. That's it. Short background story. I'm 24-year-old female. Have been dating my boyfriend since I was 15. The first 6 years of our relationship have been kind of long distance. I used to go visit him on weekends, and it would take me around 2 hours by bus and train to reach the station where he would come pick me up. The story takes place when I was 18, so I was quite used to public transportation by then. I was aware of the creeps and weirdos, one weird encounter when traveling. Nothing really creepy had ever happened to me, apart from the usual stares and unsolicited, "Hello, beautiful." One Saturday morning, I got on the usual train for the last 15 to 20 minutes of my trip, after traveling for 1.5 hours by bus. I always tended to seat either close to the other girls or to families with children. This one time the train carriage was quite empty, so I sat across from a young guy with flamingos in his t-shirt and a laptop. I don't really remember who the other person or carriage was. The seat just looked like the safest one. Shortly after the departure, another guy enters the carriage and sat down next to me. He looked 25 to 30 years old. He was wearing some dirty clothes and smelled like sweat, and possibly booze. He said, "Hi," and I said hi. As I wrote before, I was quite used to weirdos talking to me on the bus and trains, so I didn't immediately feel like I was in danger. In my experience, it was usually better to engage on a short and meaningless conversation than ignore them completely. He asked what my name was, and I made one up. Then he asked why I was traveling all alone, and I said my boyfriend was waiting for me at the following station. I hoped this was enough to make him desist, but was I oh so wrong? He started telling me that he had just got a new phone, and he had lost all of his friends' numbers. He asked me to give him my number, so he'd have someone to talk to at night. I politely declined. At that point, I started feeling very uncomfortable, but my stop was only about 5 to 10 minutes away, so I still thought he was going to give up and leave. He insisted on me giving him my phone number, and started getting closer to me. At this point, I stopped answering his questions and looked in the opposite direction. This must have bothered him because he suddenly put up his dirty hands on my thigh to get my attention. I was terrified, but I managed to utter a shaky, "Don't touch me." I wish I had yelled it, but I didn't, and no one in the carriage noticed what was going on. Not even the flamingo guy who was literally in front of us. Or maybe he noticed and didn't care at first. The guy didn't take his hand off me, and I was petrified. I don't remember if he said something else at that point, because I was focused on his hand on my jeans. I gained some more courage and managed to tell him to leave me alone, in a slightly louder voice. I guess that some people started looking in our direction in that moment because he suddenly got up and left. I started crying for relief as soon as he exited the carriage. The flamingo guy asked if I was okay, and if I needed him to call someone. I said I was fine. I tried to call my boyfriend, but he didn't answer, because he was driving to come pick me up. I thought it was over. The train started slowing down, and I got up in order to get off. Little did I know that the creepy guy was most probably keeping an eye on me from the window of the carriage door after he left. I got off the train and started to look around, hoping to see my boyfriend, who would sometimes wait for me on the platform. At that point, I noticed the guy had stepped off the train as well. As soon as we made eye contact, he started walking towards me. I felt my heart drop. I turned around and started walking quickly towards the stairs, hoping he would lose me in the crowd. As soon as I reached the underground corridor, I started running. I got to the other side of the tunnel. I ran up the stairs and towards the restrooms. I didn't know why I didn't run into the main hall instead. I was panicking, and I just went for the first place that came to my mind. I locked myself into one of the cubicles, made sure it was closed, and then got up on the toilet, so he wouldn't see my feet. I was wearing a pair of quite recognizable boots. 20 to 30 seconds later, I heard someone come in, and hastily try all the door handles. Of course, it could have been anyone, but I'm convinced it was him. It just made no sense for anyone else to try to open all the doors like that. I remember feeling my heartbeat in my throat while I was waiting for him to leave. I remained still and silent for what felt like ages, until I heard him walk away. At that point, I started crying again, and finally managed to call my boyfriend and tell him I was locked in one of the toilet stalls. When he got there, I came out of the stall and I was shaking uncontrollably, but he somehow managed to calm me down. When we got out of the restrooms, there was no sign of the guy, and I never saw him again. Looking back now, I know I should have reported him to the authorities, but I stupidly thought that they would believe me, or that they were going to shrug it off as not a big deal. After all, nothing really bad had happened on the train, and I had no proof it was him trying to open the stall doors. This experience made me avoid trains for a while, and even though, after some time, I managed to overcome my fear. Please, creepy guy on the train, let's not ever meet again. I am, and always have been, a very introverted, anxiety-ridden kid. I always imagined the worst of the situation, but this time it was worth it. My cousin had persuaded me to meet her older boyfriend at his friend's at a pizza center. After reaching there, I found out that her older boyfriend was in college and was 20, My cousin and I were 16 at the time. I got really anxious and wanted to leave, but I couldn't because my cousin started blackmailing me and would not let me leave. After 30 minutes, our pizza arrived. It was at that time I realized that the janitor of the pizza store was staring at me. I stared at the opposite direction and thought to myself, what a creep. My cousin's boyfriend took out 4 bottles of Coke from his bag and gave one to each of us. I noticed the seal on my bottle was broken, and I did not think much about it and glanced at the janitor. He was shaking his head vigorously, and I finally understood what he was trying to say. I asked the boyfriend about where he got the bottle from, and they all laughed and said, duh, from the counter? By that time, I was so annoyed that I ran to the counter and shouted at them asking, why would they sell a broken seal bottle to a customer? And before they could say anything, I heard someone shouting, hold them! Don't let them go! I turned around and saw that the boys and my cousins were trying to storm out of the place, and 2 police officers were holding them down. I got so confused and so lightheaded that I collapsed on the spot. 2 female employees of the store picked me up and put me in a chair, and I made the best decision of my life. I called my dad. The whole story that we found out after, that was, my cousin, her boyfriend, and her best friend tried to drug me, so they can take me to the boyfriend's house and kidnap me and ask my father for money, which, to be honest, is the dumbest plan ever. Like, how would they even take me out of the mall, which the pizza center was in, after I was unconscious? Anyways, the janitor heard their master plan when the boys were in the restroom and were discussing the plan. Another dumb decision. Which prompted the janitor to inform this to the store manager, and them calling the police. That is why our order came late. He saved me from being drugged. Don't know much about the kidnapping though, and I thought he was a creep. My aunt, who is a single mother, tried to disown her daughter, but later kept her and took her to therapy. The guys went to jail for 1.5 years. They were also charged for 6 theft, and I do not know what happened to them after that. But the only thing I want to tell them is, let's not meet. P.S. I still meet the janitor when I go to the mall, and he's a good friend and not a creep. My cousins and I don't get along. So, this happened back in 2006. I was a military wife living on base in the U.S., and just down the street from the base was a Walmart where most of us did our shopping. However, the area had started to go downhill, and the base sent out a notice warning us to be careful if we shopped there. It was December, early evening, and I realized I'd run out of wrapping paper, so I decided to run out to Walmart to get some. I leave the kids with my husband and schlep out to the store. Once I get there, I think of a few more things I need, so I start browsing. All of a sudden, I notice this creepy guy following me. At first, I thought it was coincidence, but then I realize it's not, so I head for the checkout. Once I get there, I realize that the man has disappeared. Thank God, and I start to relax. I leave the store and start walking to my car. All of a sudden, I notice creepy guys following me again. I start pushing the cart as fast as I can towards my car, and I'm thinking to myself, how am I gonna get all these bags in before he grabs me? Then I noticed a car pull in close to mine. People started to get out, so I raced to my car and put my bags in and get in. By that time, the people in the car have walked off. It's okay, I'm safe now. All of a sudden, a face appears against my driver's side window. It's the creepy guy, and he's trying to open my car. Luckily, my car had the option when you put it into gear. It automatically locked the doors. Well, I started to get back out, and the guy is holding onto my car and banging on the window. I guess trying to break it. I get out of the spot and get it out of the parking lot. He held on for a few more seconds trying to break open the window before my speed made him have to let go. I got home and I was in hysterics and shaking. My husband calmed me down and we called the police and gave them the description. However, of course, by the time they got to Walmart, the guy was long gone. A few days after the incident, an edict came down from a high that the Walmart was off limits to anybody from the base. No idea how they planned to enforce that, but I didn't care. I never shopped there again. So, creepy carjacker, let's not meet.
I was around 18 to 19, still living at home with my mom and my little sister. And we would take weekly trips to Walmart when mom and I got paid. I told my mom and sister I was going somewhere, and that just meant I was gonna walk around. While I was walking to the back of the store, I realized that a man was walking behind me. He was about 10 feet away, and I thought nothing of it. It seemed pretty normal. But something was off, and I couldn't shake the feeling. But I also kept telling myself that I was crazy. I kept walking, looking back every few seconds, to see if the guy was still there, and there he was. I also noticed that, weirdly enough, there was nobody around this area of the store, and that freaked me out even more. I picked up the pace, to the point where I was almost running, and the guy was chasing me at this point. I was on the verge of tears, wondering why there was nobody around, until I got to the electronics section. And I finally saw some other people. I didn't say anything to anybody, because I guess since we got to a point where people were around, he left me alone. I was still freaked out, but I was relieved. I found my mom around the frozen food section and told her that a strange old white guy was following me. That freaked her out, and she told me not to go anywhere. My little sister, the angel that she is, was trying to comfort me, and I felt somebody was watching me. Across from where we were, I saw a head poking out of the woman's clothes section. And I whispered to my sister that there was a guy who was chasing me. She turned and saw him, and that's when he started walking away. And again, I thought that he would be gone since my little sister had seen him. We continued shopping, and while we were in line to check out, I noticed him again. And I told my mom that he was the guy. She told me not to look back at him and to just ignore him. He couldn't do anything since there were tons of people around. We quickly got checked out and left as soon as we could. I kept looking back to see if he was chasing us as we left to the car, but he wasn't around. We quickly put our bags in the car and dipped out of there. On the way home, my mom was angry and scared, and she told me to never leave her side again while we were shopping. Anyway, to the creepy stalking old dude at Walmart, let's not meet ever again.
This isn't the scariest story, but it happened to me when I was 25 years old, when I just started dating guys. I still had little experience in the matter. This guy I matched with was in his early 40s, so he was 15 to 20 years older than me, but he looked attractive in his pictures. We were supposed to meet at an airport, I was coming back from a trip, and he was around at the time. So I told him my arrival time, and where I came from. First mistake. Even if the airport is a public place, it is a bad idea to plan an appointment in an inevitable place. I mean that, whatever happens, I had to be at the airport at the time I told him. It's not like I made an appointment at a bar, you know. It just took this guy a simple search to find out exactly where I would be. But I was naive, and our discussions were completely normal. The first red flag, he asked for my identity. I mean, he asked for my first and last name. I politely refused to tell him, saying that it was a little too early, and that he just needed my first name. The second red flag, he sent me more and more messages. He got impatient when I did not answer quickly enough. He gave me nicknames, as if we were already in a relationship, although we had not yet met. Even worse, he seemed to be on an incestuous father and son trip. Third, and probably the biggest red flag, about 2 to 3 days before my arrival at the airport, he tried to call me. I did not answer, but he left me a really disturbing message. Assume for a brief moment that my name is John Smith. My voice autoresponder was, "Hello, it's John Smith. I'm not available at the moment. I'll call you back as soon as possible." It was my second real mistake. Giving my number to strangers on Grindr while leaving personal information on my answering machine. His voice message was, "Hey, John Smith. I'm delighted to know you, blah, blah," in a triumphant tone like, "I pwned you." It was too much. He was starting to freak me out, and I told him that I didn't want to meet him anymore. But he turned a deaf ear to that. He continued to talk to me, and to pretend that our date was still maintained, while I continued to ignore it. At that time, which was in 2012, we could not block text messages, only direct phone calls, so he could harass me in text. I really thought he was crazy when he told me the day of my flight, I would be dressed in a black coat, blah. What about you? At that moment, I lost my temper, and I just said to him, "Shut up! Leave me alone!" I was really stressed when I arrived at the airport. I was afraid of meeting him, even if I knew that I was not risking anything, theoretically. I was paranoid to the point where I was watching behind me when I was waiting to take a taxi. I was afraid that he would be mad to the point of following my taxi by car. Later that evening, he left me a message. "What happened, John? I waited for you. I worried, and I called the cops." "Seriously?" I don't think he ever went to the airport. He just wanted to take some sort of revenge for my rejection. But in any case, this guy was super shady. I'm glad I never met him. And I hope we never, ever meet again. everyone. It is always smart to keep a password on your phone. I was FaceTiming my brother around 11 p.m. at night, playing games on my computer, while I had my phone on FaceTime with him. My computer is located next to a window that had been opened that night, but I had thought I had closed it. As I was talking to him, I heard two faint knocks that sounded like it came from the door. I thought it was nothing and continued playing my game. A minute later, I heard two faint knocks again. This time, I knew someone was there, so I got up and left my phone where it was and opened the door, but found no one on the other side. I walked to the basement door to ask my boyfriend's parents if they were upstairs knocking, but they had been downstairs all along. I told them I think someone's in the house. We all came back up together and walked back to my bedroom, and guess what? My phone was gone. I was still on FaceTime with my brother when I left. Now the knock sounded like it was coming from the door, but it could have been someone outside my window. But I would have heard it coming from the window, but it didn't sound like that, so that part I do not know. There could have been two people in total, because it sounded like someone was trying to lure me out of the room. Turns out, when I left to get my boyfriend's parents, this is what my brother saw. He saw a girl's hand by the window reach in and grab my phone. I know I was being watched for at least an hour. She turned the screen off, but luckily for me, I had a password on my phone. The window screen had been folded up, meaning someone from the outside was watching me for a while, trying to lure me outside, or at least outside of the room. And I am pretty sure I know who it is. My boyfriend's crazy ex. She had used at least 100 fake numbers trying to contact him for over 10 months. We just changed his phone number, so I can only assume she was trying to get my phone to see his new number in my contacts. I found my phone outside in the front yard. Most likely, she threw it away after realizing she couldn't get past my password. This is why I say you should always have a password on your phone. Maybe she should have tried FaceTiming me next time if she really wanted to know stuff. Needless to say, I hope she and I never meet again.
Hey friends, thanks for watching the video. If you have any suggestions for the next video, I would love to see them in the comments down below. Also, don't forget to hit that bell icon and hit all notifications to get notified when I drop a new video or stream. And if you'd like to get early access to my videos before anyone else, please consider supporting me on Patreon or becoming a channel member, where you get that and some other fun perks for just $1 a month. Also, I got my podcast available with all my past videos that can be found on all major podcast services. And I've got some merch over on Spreadshirt. All links to these, my social medias, will be in the description field down below. Thank you guys so much, and remember, keep it spooky.